Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, give the Lord a big hand for that. Praise God. I know you thought Easter was over or Resurrection Day was over. Today we're going to talk about resurrecting Peter, and we're going to find our scriptural text in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. You'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you." Also, they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered, "No." Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it and bread.
Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught."
Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Verse 14 together. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today because, Lord, we celebrated last week the resurrection of you from the dead and your triumphant glory over death, hell, and the grave. But Lord, some of us remain in a place of where we need resurrection power in our lives, mainly because there's parts of our lives that are still dead. There's parts of our lives that have been backslidden to a place where we feel like there's no restoration. But today, Lord, is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day that we recover all. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the power of your Holy Spirit would be here, and the person that feels the least worthy or the least candidate for your mercy and for your grace would find that today in this place. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that we've experienced. We give all glory and praise to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I'm sure that all of you at one time or another would want an opportunity to do a part of your life over again. Amen. Call it a rerun, call it whatever you want. Do over, whatever fits your fancy. The opportunity to have a second chance to do what we should have done in the first place is the beginning of understanding what grace looks like. And Jesus intends for us to be more than conquerors because of his true love for us that he took to the cross and brought him back from the grave so that we might experience resurrection from dormancy. I got three things we'll kind of touch on today. First one is this. Did you know that your failures do not disqualify you from fulfilling Jesus' purpose for your life? You know, that's one of the strongest arguments of the devil, says, "Oh, you've blown it, it's over, forget about it, move on, live a lesser life. But you know, something about the restoration power and resurrecting power of Jesus comes to a place in your life where you've lost confidence in yourself. Well, Paul made it several times. He said, don't put any confidence in the flesh, but the Spirit of God has the ability to take things that you thought were dead and bring them back to life again. What about this one? Number two, have you allowed fear of another failure to keep you from trusting the Lord to work in your life? So I've done it before. I don't trust myself again. Just let it go. Some of you are paralyzed with that particular idea or thought process because of people, what people have said, or you kind of look at other people's failures and say, I'm just like them. I'm just like my dad. I'm just like my mom. I'm just like my friend. Well, what about this last one? Are you willing to start over by learning from your mistakes in your past? Any of you ever play the game of Parcheesi? That's a demonic game. Now, the lighter version of it is called Sorry. Come on, give me a hand raise if you know what. Okay, good. Because this is very significant. Because in that game, you know, I think that's how terrorists were born. Or people who have that little bend in their life and they just want to destroy folks, you know. And so, and you're going along, you're doing really good until all of a sudden somebody comes along, ping, sorry, and they send you right back to where you started from. Parcheesi is demonic. I remember kids, we have games of Parcheesi, we'd go on for eternity, we felt like. We wanted somebody to win. We didn't care who won. We just wanted it to be over with. And sometimes that's kind of how life is. You're kind of going along, you're doing really great, and all of a sudden it's like, gotcha, bam, and you're going right back on thinking, oh, dear Jesus, dear God. I want to let you know that life is not a game of Parcheesi. That Jesus is able to take you from where you got off the bus and put you back on the bus, and you don't have to go back to go. The Bible says that if the one who, if he happens to fall or stumble, the Lord is the one who holds his hand and he's able to pick you up, and you don't have to go back to the beginning. I need some time to prove this to you, so let's get into the Word of God and we'll see what it has to say. The other side of failure, we're going to Luke chapter 1 verse, or excuse me, 5 verses 1 through 11. The story I read you is in the end, is after Jesus' resurrection. This is how everything got started. I'll read through it rather quickly because it's a lot of text. So it was in the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of the Gennesaret and saw the boat standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, were washing their nets. Move on, okay. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Go on to the next few verses. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Let's stop there just for a moment. This is interesting. This is when Jesus first met Peter. The text that I read, we read a few moments ago, it was at the end of, or at the point when Peter's about ready, well, he's done. It's over with. He's gone back to fishing. My life is over. There's no redemption for what I've done. I want to let you know, you're not too far from starting over. Jesus hasn't forgotten where he got you from. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he's not afraid to go back to where he found you. People say, I found Jesus. Jesus never lost, okay? Help you sanctified, whatever. Go on to verse 6. So they verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in other boats to come out and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Then when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought in their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know the next line, no turning back, no turning back. Perhaps you sang that when you were a child and you really meant it. And I'm not here to beat up anybody. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad, but we're going to jump into this. We must appreciate where the Lord has brought us from. Where you are in your journey right now, I will not tell you where you're not, but I'll tell you what, no matter what, Jesus has brought you a long ways. Jesus did not make a mistake when he originally called you. Our first encounter with the Lord should be a sign that his intentions and what our future will look like. Because Jesus, at the very first time he meets Peter, he says, "You know what? You're kind of in the wrong vocation. I want to give your life purpose and direction and meaning. If you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." That's what he said. Well, that being the case, and moving on a little bit further, when Jesus approaches us from where we are and transforms us into the things that will advance the kingdom, well, Jesus is looking for those who are willing to respond to his direction. And here's the thing about it. When we first got saved or when we first had an encounter with Jesus, you know, there's usually something miraculous that happened because their life wasn't working and maybe your life wasn't working. Because you've done the best you could, you've been fishing all night long, and you caught absolutely nothing. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, and things start coming together. Sound familiar? Because your life was a train wreck, okay? And then all of a sudden, pieces start coming together. Say, "Wow, I should follow this Jesus guy, and sounds like great, you know." But unfortunately, as human beings, myself included, we feel like we get so distracted with the miracles that happen, we forget about the person who's doing the miracles. Our honesty about what we believe about what we're being told to do is the beginning of our learning how to trust what we don't understand. He says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so we gotta say, "Hey, cool, follow Jesus, you're gonna fish for men." What does that mean? We just kind of accept it because our life at this point, we've seen that Jesus has got something about him that changes the part of us that we have no idea what to do with. And you know what? I found out that we're still in the stage of figuring it out. Next Wednesday, I will be 72, and I still haven't figured it out. I'm going to stay here till something really good happens. Then hasta la, bye-bye, see you later, okay? We must be willing to put our prior experience behind us and obey his command. He's talking about, Peter wasn't looking for a job. He had one. But Jesus says, "I want to make you an offer. You can refuse it if you want to. But when you sign on, the word that you have to really impregnate into your mind is, follow me. And I will make you." Follow me, make you. Sounds interesting. Well, when we respond to the word of the Lord, we can anticipate that the miraculous will occur, and it does. And so when we allow our prior experience to keep us from following Jesus, we will never experience what the Lord has had in mind. Because there's a tendency for me, maybe not for you, but I kind of look back now and then say, "Yeah, this is really good, but what about this?" And I mean there's distractions and all types of pitfalls, the whole experience. Once we have responded to obedience to the word of the Lord, it will be exposed the sin and error within our hearts. It wasn't a smooth ride with Peter. Matter of fact, Peter, even though Jesus spoke these words and make him a fisherman, he's a piece of work. Oh yeah, fisherman? Yeah, got all kind of ideas. How the program,
yeah, I got some ideas here how we can make the campaigns work really a whole lot better.
Peter, shut up. In Jesus' name, you know. But here's one thing, a part I want you to really move into. Regardless of all the horrible, dumb, stupid things that Peter did, Jesus really did capture his heart. He said, whoa. He denied Jesus. And some of you are using things that you have done to disqualify you from the fact that you really did make a decision to follow Jesus. And I'm going to help you today. I'm not going to excuse you, but I'm going to help you in so we can get over that particular hurdle. Well, Jesus' fear of not being worthy enough or good enough to be in the presence of Jesus was overridden by Jesus' invitation to make him a totally new vocation. See, I don't think Peter was ignorant of some of the flaws that he had. He says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I'm a fisherman. Fishermen do bad things. Fishermen swear a lot. What you have done or what you are doing will not scare Jesus away. His spirit can override the worst thing you've ever done. He can transform you from the person you are now to the person that you've always wanted to be. And by the time we finish today, it's going to happen today. I just kind of feel failure is not the end of when you are willing to start over. What about this? Or failure that Peter had experienced fishing was about to take a whole new direction in his life. Because here's the deal. He comes along in his life, and life isn't working. Fished all night long. Doesn't happen. But if you hear the word of God, and if you're willing to obey someone that says, you know what? Just go one more time. Put your experience behind you of all the failure you've had and just go out and trust the word I'm saying. Go out one more time. We've done this all day long. Nothing's really happened. Have you ever felt a place where you don't want to try anymore? Don't raise your hand. I already know. Because you're done. It's over. But I want to kindle a spark within you today that this is and will be the best day of your life. Wow, that's a pretty good guarantee. Do I guarantee it? No, Jesus does. Well, the Lord will never start a work that he does not intend to finish. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a couple things I want you to focus on. First of all, this confident thing in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you. Now the question is, who's begun the work? I've tried to reform myself. I'm taking classes. And I'm doing really good. I'm doing better than everyone else. According to the curve. You know what that curve should be? You bowing before Jesus and saying, you know more than I'll ever know. A little bit more in there. Begun a good work, you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Back in my culture, the church I grew up in, there was a word I don't hear it much nowadays. The word they use is called backslid. Anybody hear that word before? The rest of you, you're in for a treat. In our church, if you played with cards that had faces on them, you had backslid. My mother used to make, the best cards we could play with in our house was Old Maid. One day my brother snuck in a pair of with real faces of kings and queens and Jacksons type of thing. I mean, she took him outside. She worked him over top, you know, hip to thigh. Don't you ever, as long as you live, bring the instruments of the devil in the house. Yes. And so I figured in my mind, as long as I can stay away from them cards, and Olympia beer, I'd be all right. Away from the cars and the Olympian, I'm still a mess. Because it's not about that. Jesus wants to do a work in you that will transform you like you've never experienced before. Well, navigating our way to the other side of, from the other side of failure. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. This, and I put the scripture in there because it kind of marks Peter, and I think you'll understand it. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. Now, this is right after the resurrection. But the part I want to take is this: go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter has an identity separate from the disciples. Oh, tell Peter too. He is already on the outs. And some of you feel right now that you're on the outs. Everybody else is included but you, but you can have a standalone, right? Because you have a unique identity that doesn't identify with the rest of the disciples. Oh, you're reading my mail. You're absolutely correct. Because you've always felt isolated or different or not included. Here's the thing. Peter had a reputation at that particular point of being the one who denied Jesus. And you know what? So do some of you. Not overtly, but you grew up, or at least you had some information about Jesus, and you're not living according to what you know, but you're living to according to what you feel or what's expedient right now. Now, before you lapse into a place where you don't want to hear anymore, I have to say, let me just say these few things to you. That somehow Peter was singled out as a person who needed to know about the resurrection, even though he was the one who, disciple who directly denied him. But they said, even though he's the one who denied, they said, but Peter needs to know that Jesus is alive. It's not like he thought. Okay. The Lord will often mark us for his work in spite of our bad choices. Every single one of you in this room, I'm going to mark you today. You say, well, that's not fair. Too late. Should have gone someplace else. So I'm going to mark you. I'm going to mark you with the truth of the reality that Jesus can restore you to a place where you've always wanted to be, we're not able to maintain. He said, I've tried this before. I've tried Jesus. It just didn't work. Jesus isn't a person you try. He's a person you trust. Come on. What do I mean? If we're going to experience a resurrection of our life, we must realize that the death or separation that we have made by our decisions and choices. Remember? It was a choice that you made. You chose to say, you know, at the heat of the situation, I don't know who Jesus is, or what do you mean I go to that church, or go to New Song? No, maybe that was somebody like, I ain't been to New Song ever before in my ever life. Really? You want to distance yourself from us? Well, go ahead. But what's the real truth? How about this? Peter gained the reputation of the one who openly denied Jesus. Well, Jesus is working out all the things that you're worried about. Can I have your attention just for a moment? What is the number one worry you have in your life right now? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to survive financially. Oh, my job's kind of on the line. Oh, my marriage is falling apart. My girlfriend's about to leave me. We can go. Every single one of you have a worry. And it pops up on the screen just like that. And unfortunately, Peter was one of those fellows that he, not thinking forwardly, at the moment he should have proclaimed Jesus, he denied him. You know why? Because something within him caused him to doubt that Jesus had told him the truth about, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to get up again. And his denial brought about death in him. That's the reason why it's going to be important to bring you back to life. Well, our fear of being rejected by others should not cause us or keep us from reengaging with the Lord. How about this? Fear should be the starting point of regaining our faith. I want to take the fear that's in you right now and make it the starting point of you starting over. The greatest thing you fear right now, it's okay. I'm not here to cure you of your fear. I'm here for you to put it out there, say, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. It's perfect. God is not afraid of the things you're afraid of. He has no fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. God loves you. The fear is not an issue. But the devil's an intimidator. Because here's what happens. What if it doesn't happen? Then what are you going to do? I want to take the what if out of you today. Well, we must learn to put things in their proper perspective and move forward. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite ones that the Philippians had. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That phrase right there is amazing. This is Paul talking. Apprehended means, he says, I don't understand all of the concepts about this. I haven't apprehended all the knowledge that comes to this particular or surfaces here, but he says, but one thing I do, if I can get you to do this one thing, this is going to be your transformation point. I want you to take your finger, put it in your chest, and say these words after me. Forget about it. Yeah. Say it again. Forget about it. You say, well, I can't forget. It comes up on the screen all the time. He says, forgetting those things which are behind me. What can you do about the things that are behind you? They are behind you. How about focusing on the things that are ahead of you? You are looking at dead stuff. You're looking at things that will never change. But God's giving you a hope and a future of the things that are ahead. So he says, look at the things that are ahead. He says, I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead of me. Would you put your hand out like this? Say, and I'm moving forward. That means is to forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know where you're going now. Somebody needs to realize it's time to move on. If nothing else, for the sake, I'm tired of the scenery. Leaving our past behind is an act of grace only embraced by those who believe Jesus has the power to forgive. Do you realize that you have a harder time forgiving you than other people will have forgiving you? Now let me make it worse before I make it better. Because you did it. And the devil will play on that. And he'll tell you, you shouldn't have done it. You knew what you were doing when you did it. And you're not a good person. And you'll never be a good person. And you know, and people should never forgive you. That's the message you've got. But I'm going to take you out of that prison and show you what Jesus is all about. Well, that being the case, Peter's resurrection was predicated on the premise that Jesus was determined to keep the promises of the words that he spoke over his life. I wanted to give you some words that Jesus spoke over Peter's life before we finish this story in a few moments. First of all, Jesus says, first promise was, I will make you a fisher of men. Right now, Peter's saying, fisher of men? At this place we found him in John, he's back fishing again. because he lost his vision. I want to talk to all of you people here who have lost your vision of what you believe that Jesus really wants you to do. But because of decisions or things that have happened, you've lost your vision for your future. And you're just living day by day, and hopefully Jesus will come. It'll all be over. I want to inspire with that God's got work for you to do before he comes. Amen. And you need to get excited about what he's commissioned you to do. That was one thing he said. The second thing that Jesus says to Peter says, Satan will try to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Do you know you have an intercessor in heaven right now? That Jesus is praying for you? So, no, Jesus. Yes, he is. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. For you to be the successful person that God has always designed you to be. But Peter, in this situation, this is a prophetic word he spoke. He says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I am praying for you. And then the third thing he says to him, he says, and after you've been through this thing, transformed, strengthen the brethren. He already prophesied, you're going to go through this. Satan's going to try to sift you. But after it's over with, you have an assignment that you're going to strengthen other people by your mistakes. Because if God can forgive you, he can certainly forgive me. Don't be intimidated by the things that you allowed yourself to get involved in. Allow them to be stepping stones for freedom for you to be all that Jesus intended for you to be. He hasn't changed his mind. Have you? Well, that being the case, he says, you may feel like sand, but I see you as a rock of stability. We're just about there. Well, resurrection through experiences of your past. We're going back into John, but I'm not going to read all this all over again because we already read it, but it says this. When the Lord resurrects us, we will have a greater understanding of what the other side of failure looks like. Let's go back to the story here. So they're down at the sea. They're just kind of hanging out there. And they said, well, let's go fishing. Great idea. Sounds familiar. But interestingly enough, they make the decision to go fishing. And it's total, they're totally in. Everybody's going, let's go fishing. Yeah, let's go. But the other thing that's interesting is when the morning has now come, Jesus stood on the shore and yet his disciples did not know it was him. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they said, no. God's timing is perfect. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus goes back to the very scene of where he met you. And today this is going to seem like it's almost like deja vu. Because you're thinking, wait a minute. This is almost the same scenario I was in before I really committed my heart to Jesus. And I really wanted him to do something in my life, but I'm kind of empty and I've been fishing all this time and I still haven't caught anything. Well, Jesus shows up and Jesus asks him a question. But here's the point. Do you have any food? If you will answer with truth, no, I don't, expect there to be a radical transformation. So it happens. They didn't recognize Jesus at that particular point. But we cannot go back to what Jesus called us away from and experience success. We should not be surprised when we attempt to go back to our old ways and it doesn't work. Ever go back to your homies and not fit in? Or I go back to them and they'll say, what you doing here? I thought you got saved. They'll put you on blast in a minute. I thought you quit doing all this stuff. What you doing here with us? We was trying to join you, but you didn't come back here hanging out with. I mean, you can't be comfortable anywhere. Because once Jesus is coming to your life, you don't fit in anymore. Because you know too much. That's true. So anyway, our identity should never be in what we do or what we've done. We should be aware of our influence over people who have once served the Lord and we can cause them to go back to living the way they formerly did, because somebody's watching you. Did you hear what I said? Somebody's looking to you. That shouldn't be your only motive to change. I have a couple more things. When we choose to go back to our lifestyle where we met the Lord, we'll lose our ability to recognize him. Because he asked, do you guys have... Well, that's just some guy on the shore saying, no, we don't have any food. But here's the thing, and I love this. Next thing he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Cast your net on the right side of the boat, according to God's word, and you will find what you've been looking for. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. It won't be happening the way you think it should occur. It's by his word. Well, when we choose to go back to our lifestyle before we met Jesus, we will lose our ability to recognize him, obviously. But we will find Jesus at the point where we first left him. Now, let me tell you something about backsliding. Backsliding is not like Parcheesi. It's not like sorry. Or someone comes along, you got to go back to go. You got to go all the way back to where you were before. That's the reason why I hated that game. Okay, so you passed me up on the board, but don't be throwing me back where I started from. That's depressing. You're working on my psyche. It's fragile. Right where you are today is where you left Jesus. He said, well, I thought I backslid. Now, here's the thing about it. I think it's a game of, which one is it you go backwards? I think it's in sorry. They got cards in sorry and you can go backwards and what a waste of time. Get almost to where you're supposed to go. You pull the car and says, go back 14 steps. Really? Then here you come around the corner, then you tap me on the shoulder and I go all the way back to go. No fun. Jesus will find you where you got off the bus. Really? Let me finish this. Jesus will allow us to benefit from the blessing of his provision. John chapter 21, verse 10. Watch this. This is pretty interesting. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. This is before Peter gets his act together. God will do and manifest himself to you in such ways that he's not punishing you, but he's revealing to you that really, I have meant everything I said to you and about you. Well, he invites us to his table for vision, but I want to take you to the very last part of this story. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. It's very familiar to many of you. Peter embraced resurrection from his backslidden condition. So when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He's talking about the fish, not the people. You love me more than John? No, he's talking about fish, okay? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Go to the next verse, please. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. Next one, please. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I've said it before If you haven't heard me say it here, I'll say it now. Jesus knew that Peter needed total healing from his denial. He denied Jesus three times. He asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" We're good. Whatever it takes to bring you back to a place of that Jesus has not abandoned you, he'll do that. But he does it in such a way where it helps us to understand that it's just not out of for no reason. God has purpose in all the things he says. Worship him, you can come back up here, and I'm closing at this point. He said, "I called you to care for all of my sheep, to discipline the stubborn ones, to tenderly watch over the older ones. I've got purpose and direction for you." And so he says, his destiny would be that this last part of this, he says, you know, it's not going to be easy, this fact of coming back to me, but I want to let you know that when you come back to me, that I've always had intent and purpose for to make you a real powerful, identified man of principle and power. And that means that it's going to happen in your life. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." It was a prophetic word. Those of you who don't know any biblical history, according to what we know, the writings about Peter, he was crucified, but he says, "Don't crucify me like Jesus." He says, "I don't deserve to die like Jesus. Crucify me upside down." But you know, finishing well is an opportunity that all of you have if you're willing to come to Jesus and allow him to change your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.